there. Welcome to the program. Come on in, make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak. Today we are going to look at the Mass readings for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I really enjoy this topic. I think it's a great one. But, you know, it's one of those topics where the message can be a little challenging. On the surface, it sounds fantastic. But we all know that the message goes deeper than what it appears at first. The message is rescued from death. It's all about how the Lord rescues us from death. The tricky thing about a message like this is the fact that we all die in this life. We're all going to die one day. But the good news, and again, this could be a tough message, especially if you're dealing with the death of a loved one, or possibly facing a terminal diagnosis in your own life and questioning, oh my gosh, I have to die. The tricky thing about this is we sort of have to expand our view of life and look at it the way that God looks at it. Not exclusively talking about life on earth, but life eternal, which goes well beyond the life that we have on this earth. But indeed, the Lord has rescued us from death. We are going to talk about it. And I do pray that that you view this as a positive message rather than just fluff. You know, it's very easy for us to say that, yes, we will rise again one day. But as you deal with the difficulties of life, as you deal with the reality of death in this life, sometimes it's not an easy message to process. So we're going to pray to the Lord, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us really try to understand and dig into this message. Now, we are going to pray in just a few seconds. Then I'm going to have a few thoughts I want to share with you, and then we'll continue with the program and look at the readings from the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So, as we always do, I'm going to invite you to join me right now. And before we begin in prayer, I just want to call your attention and my own attention to the fact that we are in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit right now. We are very privileged to be able to address them in prayer. It's very easy to forget that, isn't it? You forget that they're there with us right now. Or I should say they're here with us right now. So let's begin. Try to keep that in mind as we begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your presence with us right now. Father, of course, we can't see you, we can't hear you, we can't necessarily feel you, but that makes sense, considering the fact that you are pure spirit and that feelings aren't necessarily true. So the fact that we might not be able to feel you doesn't mean you're not with us. By faith, we believe, Father, that you are with us and that you do love us. And that you are bigger than any problem or challenge we could ever face. Father, we come to you today, and with grateful hearts, we say thank you. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for bringing us safely up until the present moment in time. You've taken care of us. You've sustained our lives. And Father, thank you for the promise of eternal life, which goes on well beyond the life we see on this earth. Father, we lift up our friends, our family, all of our intentions. We pray for all of those who don't know you. We pray for those who may be in danger of losing their salvation. We pray for those who are hopeless, looking for answers, confused, lonely, grief-stricken, hopeless. We just lift all these individuals up, Father, and we ask you to comfort them and allow them to believe in your presence. We pray for our own needs. We pray for a greater understanding of life after death and the reward of heaven. Father, I ask you to pour out your Spirit upon me today so that I can deliver the message that you would like me to deliver. And I pray that you would open up all of our hearts and our minds so that we can hear your message and put it into practice in our own lives. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. If you're just tuning in, my name is Gary Zimak, and I'm so glad to be with you for another episode of the show. Again, as I said at the start, we're going to be looking at the Mass readings for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme, Rescued from Death. The Lord rescues each of us from death. And we'll talk about what that means, and also we'll talk about what it doesn't mean. Before we start, I want to do two things. The first one is to thank you again for all of your many prayers for my wife, Eileen. I got so many emails. I know so many people are praying for her. In case you missed last week or you didn't see what I wrote in my daily email reflections, my wife Eileen has been diagnosed with epilepsy, and a few weeks ago she had a convulsive seizure, which was pretty nasty. I'd never seen anything like it before. It happened while she was asleep, really shook me up, shook my daughters up. Eileen didn't even know what happened, amazingly enough. But the good news is she is on the mend. She is on medication. She has not had another seizure. She is going to follow up with the doctors. Obviously, it's a bit of a shock. She can't drive, at least temporarily. How long that's going to be, we're not sure. And it really does, it changes things. I mean, she can live a normal life. That's what she's been told by her neurologist. But it does change things in that my time is a little more, a little less, what's the word I'm looking for? I have less time right now. There are more demands on my time because I'm the driver right now. And I also have to be there to support Eileen. How this is going to play out, I am not really sure in the future. I would greatly appreciate your prayers in terms of what my future as a parish mission leader and an evangelist means. I certainly know that I'm going to do local talks. I've got several Advent parish missions lined up in the Philadelphia and New Jersey area, so that's a good thing. And in addition, I've got some writing. I've got a book that's going to be coming out in a few months. It's an Advent book. I've got another book that's being worked on right now. Plus, I have my daily email reflection. In case you happen to be a listener of my daily 5-minute podcast, I mentioned last week in the podcast that I'm putting that one on hold right now. It makes it just so much easier for me. It even though it's only 5 minutes a day, it was just becoming difficult to do that. I still plan to keep this show up. So whether you're listening on the radio or you're listening through the podcast service, however you're listening, this show will continue for the foreseeable future. I'm going to be with you. We're going to keep walking together, as well as the daily email reflections. I can keep those up. There'll be no problem getting those, at least at the moment. I have no intention to stop doing those. I get so much good feedback on those daily email reflections, and I know they're important to so many people. So I am going to keep doing those. And again, as I said, I've got some local parish missions on the horizon. But, you know, I'm going to have to work things out in terms of travel, in terms of what I'm going to be able to do and what I'm not going to be able to do. I would ask you to please continue to pray for Eileen, especially. It's when you have a traumatic event like this, it kind of does a number on you mentally because you just think, oh my gosh, what happened? Can it happen again? Is it going to get worse? That is a very difficult thing for Eileen. So please pray for her continued recovery in body and mind and in spirit. And I'd appreciate your prayers for myself and for my family as well as we continue to navigate this very dynamic situation, trying to figure out where we go from here. But the good news is, as I said, the doctors said that with medication, Eileen can lead a normal life. And thank God she is with us. She is doing well. And there are, you know, no obvious effects from this very serious seizure that she had. So please continue your prayers. And you know I always pray for you, right? I hope you know that because I will continue to pray for you. That's the first piece of information. The second piece of information is my website is followingthetruth.com For more information about my work, about my books, where you can sign up for my daily email reflection, that's the place to go, followingthetruth.com. All righty, let me take a sip of my water, get my notes here, and let's get ready to talk about the Mass readings for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Again, the topic is Rescued from Death. I'm going to do it as I always do on the show. I'm going to start with the Gospel. We'll let the Gospel lead the way, and then we'll use the other readings, the other Mass readings, to supplement the Gospel. The Gospel comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. Now, there's a lot more to this Gospel, but I just want to pause it here to give you a chance to really take in what is happening. We've got a man whose daughter is at the point of death. Can you imagine how desperate he is? And he's coming up to Jesus. Please, he says, please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live. He believes, and he's a synagogue official, powerful guy, but he's humble enough to recognize that Jesus can help him. And he falls at the feet of Jesus. See, there's that humility in action. And he pleaded with him, please come lay your hands on her. He believed that Jesus could heal his daughter. And then Jesus goes with the man, and the story's going to take a little bit of a twist now. There was a man afflicted, I'm sorry, there was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." And I want to pause this right here as well, because we're going to see there, these two stories, they're similar. We have the girl who is at the point of death, and we have a woman who suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years, trying to go to many doctors to be cured. She doesn't get any better. Because she has this flow of blood, she is isolated. She's an outcast. The Mosaic law prohibits her from having any contact with other people. So she might as well be dead. Just like the little girl, she's for all intents and purposes dead. But somehow she believed that Jesus could help her. Just like Jairus, speaking on behalf of his daughter, believed that Jesus could help. And this woman believes, if I could just touch his clothes, I shall be cured. And she touched his cloak. And immediately, the Gospel says, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." So what we see, we have a healing within a healing. This is an amazing Gospel account today that we hear during this weekend's Masses. This woman was healed. And Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you. You believed in me. You came to me. I touched you. You were healed. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." Now, back to the first story. While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" It's amazing. The people just don't have faith in Jesus, do they? Jesus said to the synagogue official, I'm sorry, disregarding the message it was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. Now, so we see a second healing. We see two healings in this gospel. Now, look, I want to point out a fact, and this is critical to the message today. We hear these healings, and we get very excited sometimes, especially if you know somebody whose life might be in danger, or maybe it's your life, and you're desperate. And you believe that Jesus can heal you physically. And he can. He absolutely can. There are countless episodes detailed in the Bible where Jesus has healed people, and in the Old Testament where God has healed people. He did the miraculous many times. So there's no doubt he can do it. But what I want you to remember today is just like Lazarus, who was risen, who the Lord Jesus raised from the dead, this woman who was cured from her hemorrhage, just like Lazarus, this woman and the girl who was on the point of at the point of death, the daughter of Jairus, they are all dead. They all died an earthly death. And so the point I want to make, I'm not trying to bring you down, I'm not trying to negate this great point about being rescued from death, but I'm just trying to get you to understand that all physical healings are temporary. Every one of these people eventually died and left this planet. But eternal healings, and this is the overall message that these readings, I believe, are saying today. Eternal healings, eternal life, that lasts forever. That does not end. So even though it's hard for us to comprehend, especially when a loved one dies, it's traumatic, it's sad, we miss them, eternal life is a whole lot more important than earthly life. And if Jesus just healed us in this life, it wouldn't last. You know, sometimes he does. He absolutely does. My daughters were not supposed to be born alive. My twin daughters had a 10% chance of being born alive. They were healed. They're 26. They're healthy. The Lord did heal them. But they're going to die one day. So in the end, the bigger message, and really the more important message, again, not easy for us to understand or accept, the more important message is that Jesus has rescued us from eternal death and replace that with eternal life. Through him, we can live forever. And we might not see it now. I totally understand that you and I might not see it now. And we might really not understand now. But I also believe that one day, this is going to become really clear to us. And when we have left this earth, of course, I can't say that because I haven't died yet, but I do believe that when we have left this earth and we encounter the Lord in heaven and get an idea about what eternal life is all about, I don't think we're going to have any regrets. I am positive we are not going to have any regrets. So the rescuing from death that we read about in these readings ultimately is pointing to eternal life in heaven. First reading, Wisdom chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome. And there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth, for justice is undying. For God formed man to be imperishable. Imperishable. He doesn't want us to die. You see that? the image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. So look, you and I, because of original sin, we must now experience death in this life on earth. However, by what Jesus did on the cross, he has transformed death, earthly death, into the gateway or the passageway to eternal life in heaven. Again, it is hard for us to understand that until we die. It's hard. But by faith, we can choose to believe it. And one day, I am positive that it's going to make sense. The responsorial psalm, it really goes in line with this message. Psalm 30, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing. Ultimately, where's the dawn that we're going to see? It's once we leave this earth. In the next life, that is when we are going to fully be able to rejoice and not have to deal with suffering and death anymore. Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me, O Lord. Be my helper. You have changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever will I give you thanks. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Rescued us from eternal death. We now, through the efforts of Jesus Christ, we now have been transformed into eternal creatures who can live forever in heaven. That takes place when we're baptized. That's when we really access the fruit of what Jesus did in terms of transforming us from creatures who will just have to die. And at the end of this life, wouldn't exist anymore. He transformed that and given us the gift. And he has given us the gift of eternal life. Let's look at the second reading now. St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8, beginning in verse 7. Brothers and sisters, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and in the love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Not that others should have relief while you were burdened, but that as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs, so that their abundance may also supply your needs, that there may be equality. As it is written, whoever had much did not have more, and whoever had little did not have less. We, again, have been given this gift. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We've been given the gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ, though he was rich, he didn't have to come into our world. For our sake, for your sake, for my sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich. How so? Through the gift of eternal life in heaven. You have been rescued from death. You and I have been rescued from death and given the promise of eternal life. It's a great gift, and I understand that sometimes it's not easy to appreciate it. When you're dealing with problems in this life, when you lose loved ones to death, it is very hard to say, yes, but I will see them one day in heaven. It's very hard to say it and feel it, I should say. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, and by choosing to believe, you are able. You know, but you can't force this. You are able to strongly believe that one day all of your tears will be wiped away and that you will be able to live in perfect happiness forever. So much of this life is difficult because things change. Good things end. You can't enjoy things forever because they're going to go away. Your body's going to break down. You're going to lose people. You're going to lose your favorite restaurant. Things change. Your house is going to start to decay and fall down. You know, these things happen. That's because this life is not heaven. This world is not heaven. But the hard thing for us is to walk by faith and not by sight. If we walk by sight, yeah, we're going to get depressed because we're going to see sadness all around us. We're going to see decay. We're not going to see heaven. Our eyes are just not going to do it for us. However, if we walk by faith and choose to believe by faith in life eternal in heaven, then we could begin to reap some of that fruit even in this world, knowing that one day our loved ones, we will be reunited with them. The ones who have died, we will meet them again. We will get to meet Jesus in person and to get to actually encounter him. Again, this has to be done through faith, but the Holy Spirit can and will help if we ask for his help. That's the message today. You have been rescued from death. Rejoice in that fact. I want to thank you for listening to the program today. Again, it is a real pleasure to be with you here on these shows. I love doing them. I love knowing that you are listening to the show. I love talking about the Lord and sharing the good news with you. Please let somebody know about this show. And again, if you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Thank you again for continuing to pray for my wife, Eileen, for myself, for my kids. And again, we're praying for you. We are absolutely praying for you. You are awesome, and I'm so grateful that we have this connection and that we can walk together on that road, which leads to eternal life. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And I look forward to joining you once again, God willing, next week. Bye-bye now.